All right, let's chop it up with one of our favorites. Each and every Monday during Texas baseball season, we get the opportunity to talk Longhorn baseball with one of the very best Texas baseball players of all time, also a World Series champion. And on top of everything else, he's our friend. That may be the most important label that Greg Swindell has. Zeke, good to see you again, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I got the Allstadt Brewery right up the street.
Sweet.
Right here in Fredericksburg.
That's right. Yeah, you're just a few minutes away.
You would, Greg, what has been your game? What has been your game away from baseball and in your latter years of sports activities? What, you're not a pickleballer, are you?
I have not picked up a pickleball paddle in my life. I have friends that do and say you should get into it. But look, Buck, you talked about just getting out of the cart is trouble. I got two fake hips. I can't be moving around on a pickleball court, even though you don't move around very much. No, if I'm in bed and it's 1 a.m. and it's on TV, I might watch it a little bit just to put me to sleep. But I just haven't got into it.
Swinging the clubs. You're still swinging the clubs. You're still going to get out there and do that, right?
Yeah, I try occasionally. Even that's getting to be a burden. I can't walk for a week after I play golf. And now all my clubs are hybrids. How about that? That's how old I'm getting.
Well, that's all right. Mine have been hybrids for the last 20 years. There's no such thing as a 4-iron anymore.
If they go straight, it doesn't matter what they look like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're absolutely right, buddy. Yeah.
You will take it. I thought, look, I'm no expert and I'm no doctor and I don't claim to be, but once you get the fake hips, doesn't that mean you're better served in that the point of getting them so you can athlete again?
Yeah, I wish. My athletic days left when those hips went in. I had one done in 2004 and then one done like three years ago. So I've spread them apart. And the first one I got came out of socket a couple times. So that's what shies me away from getting too strenuous. I'll get on a recumbent bike now. I'll ride the crap out of a recumbent bike.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
I love when they always tell you when they replace stuff, Greg, the doctors will tell you it's going to be as good as new. And I'm like, if you take something out of me and replace it, it's not going to be as good as new ever.
The pain went away. But
that's all I want is the pain to go away, brother.
That's all I cared about, exactly.
That's the big deal. Well, we'll start with Sunday's game, Greg. We typically go Friday to Sunday, but yesterday there was so much that happened in the series finale between Texas and Mississippi State. I want to open up there. You talk about pain. Well, the top of the first inning was a painful one for Luke Harrison and for Longhorn fans everywhere. But how about Texas? Despite being down 5-0 before even taking their first at-bats, they bounced back the 9-run third inning. They win 11-6 to take the series against Mississippi State. Just kind of your big takeaways from what you saw from Texas in the rubber match against the Diamond Dogs.
How about it took a quote from the Game of Thrones to get Luke Harrison locked in? I guess that's what happened out on the mound. They went out there. Max Wiener went out there and said something about a quote from the Game of Thrones. And that, I guess they've been using that, and it kind of calmed him down. I can tell you what can calm you down in the first inning is not walking three guys on three breaking balls. I mean, first I'll challenge these guys. And I just say this all the time, and I tweet it, and I get mad at myself for tweeting it. But it's it's amazing that the first inning, Luke Harrison has like a 9 ERA on the year in the first inning. And a lot of it is his own doing. It's the walks, and then you give up the big hit. So, it was one of those where you look at it and go, oh, my gosh, this is not going to end up well. But to his credit and his post-game remarks was, it made him start competing more. And he did that, but needs to try to start making it a little easier on himself early in that first inning. Then you don't have to compete as much to get out of those innings. But for them to come back, amazing. Superstitious as we are as athletes, I got Dawson in the car. We went to McDonald's, got him some French fries, a walk. I'm looking at the score. Oh, another walk. Oh, we got to drive around. We got to keep driving around now. And all of a sudden we get back home. There's no outs and there's 8 runs in. So I'd like to think Dawson and I had a little credit for that.
There you go.
That comeback there in the fourth inning or fifth inning. The umpire stopped calling strikes. Texas recognized it, got the walks, and then just needed a couple big hits in those moments, and they got them. And what was it, 11 unanswered before Mississippi State scored their last run. And so, and that was on a misplayed ball in the outfield. They got the triple there in the ninth inning. So a great series, as Buck said earlier. You won the series, and that's all that matters right now. You have a couple days to clean it up. UTSA coming in, they're a really good ball team. 33-14 on the year, and they've won three in a row here in Austin. So, but over the weekend, yeah, you won Sunday, and you won decisively over a really good Mississippi State team. Saw them in Arlington earlier in the year, and they impressed me then. Pitching got a little off this weekend, but hey, that happens. But they're still a top 10 team. I think they remain number 10 this week in the rankings. Them and Texas both didn't move anywhere.
You know, Greg, when you start out a game and you're it's almost like, why don't you work in your fastball immediately and then work? It was almost like he was going backwards. Let me see. I'm going to use this curve sometime during the game. Let's see if I can do it right off the bat. And if I'm not, if it's not getting in the strike zone, I'm going to try it again until I get it in the strike zone because I need this curveball. When you're just leaving your fastball, I mean, I don't know if he throws, 95 or whatever, but he's close to 90 all the time. Why wouldn't you start out with your fastball and then work your curve off of that?
I mean, the only thing I can think is that Mississippi State's a good fastball hitting team. Mm-hmm. And Luke does have a good breaking ball, but you don't have to use it. This is my opinion, and y'all see it too. You don't have to use it as much, especially early. You don't want to show everything early. He's got a kind of a curveball, and he's got kind of a slider-ish breaking ball. I'm not going to use that sweeping word. I guess I just did. But he has a good one, and I think sometimes he can control it better than his fastball. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't yesterday early in the game. No. I was always one back in the day. Luke Harrison's throwing 93 miles an hour. My fastest pitch I ever threw was 93 miles an hour. And that wasn't even in college. So, and I wouldn't throw a breaking ball until the third or fourth inning.
Okay.
You got to hit my fastball. I'm going to locate my fastball. If I see you leaning out, I'm going to throw one in. And then I'm going to go back outside. One of the best pitches besides the first pitch strike in baseball is a well-placed fastball. If you can throw it where you want it, I've always said it. I said it for 10 years on Longhorn Network. If you can locate your fastball, you can throw it every pitch of a game. Hmm. You could throw a fastball every pitch of the game because a hitter's thinking, well, he's got a changeup, he's got a slider, he's got a curveball. Sure. And if you can locate the fastball, sometimes you got to locate it in the ribs. But hey, it's the best pitch in baseball, a well located fastball. It seemed after. The first inning, he did use it a little more. And then, as you said, I like the term pitching backwards because sometimes you have to pitch backwards. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to use that off speed early. It hurt yesterday. But fortunately for Texas and fortunately for Luke, it was able to figure it out and end up getting a win in that game.
Yeah. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here. Zeke, I can't imagine you had too many 5-run innings or you allowed where you were on the mound. But like, how tough is it for Luke Harrison? I know he's a senior and you talked about kind of what he did, but how tough is it when you're a pitcher and you have a bad inning, whether it's your fault or not? Maybe your defense makes a couple of errors behind you and you end up giving up a crooked number. How difficult is it to put that behind you and do what Luke Harrison did, which was throw up 4 zeros after giving up 5 in the first?
Yeah, the hardest part was throwing up that first zero, going back out there, and especially after an 8-pitch first inning that he sat in the dugout for like 1 minute and then had to get back out there.
Yeah.
Could it be a bad thing? It could be a good thing. You want to get back out there. You want to throw strikes. And Luke, I mean, he's got the mindset, as you said, he's been around a while. And I think he's a super senior. I think he's already graduated. So he's a graduate student. He's thrown a lot of pitches at Texas. And for him, he knows. And if you think about it in easy terms, that each pitch, each at bat is going to be different. It doesn't matter who, if you face the guy last inning or the second inning. So hitters are the same. You're the same. And baseball can be that way. And you saw it. He gave up the 5. And then really, I don't know if he gave up too much after that. So credit to him, credit to different pitch calling and Luke being able to go out there and compete. And that's what Texas desperately needed yesterday was him to at least get through 5 innings after the first.
Yeah, and they competed. I mean, all last week, you know, the head coach had talked about that this Mississippi State team, it sounded like he thought maybe this was the best team in the league, and they were right behind him. They were very close to him. But he gave them all the props in the world of talking about how well they were, how rounded, well-rounded this team was. And to get two or three, that's a big deal. That's a big deal when the coach himself thinks that this group is really, really good. So your team battles through some adversity and still gets two out of three and gets a win on a Sunday when it didn't look good early.
Yeah. I mean, you had to sit around an extra hour on Friday. You had to battle the weather. Mm-hmm. Saturday, you fell behind, tried to come back late in the game. And then Sunday, they just took care of business after the first inning. And Mississippi State, like I said, I saw them in Arlington, thought they were really good the third week of the season, and I still do. They're a great ball team. They've run into some trouble in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I think they lost six in a row at one point this year, seven in a row after Friday. But to their credit, they fought the whole weekend, scored again in the ninth inning on Sunday. So a really good team, really well-coached team. Brian O'Connor is a really excellent coach for a team like that. He knows what he has, and Sloss knows that. They've coached against each other for a long time and coached against Mississippi State for a long time. So they're a really good team. It wouldn't surprise me if they were one of the eight in Omaha with Texas.
Yeah, with Texas. Key addition right there, Zeke. Thanks for mentioning that. A couple more for you here, Greg. Dylan Volantis. I mean, obligatory Dylan Volantis question. Like, Texas has had some great ones. You're obviously one of them. But it feels like it's been a while since they've had a weapon quite like this. And I was a little curious. I didn't think he'd have any problems going from Sunday to Friday. But considering this was a bullpen guy last year, we're still talking about a true sophomore and going up against the best pitchers in the best conference in the sport each and every Friday. I was wondering how he would adapt to that change. I mean, six scoreless innings, 12 strikeouts. He made a very good Mississippi State team look lost up there on Friday. What can you say about him? And when's the last time Texas has quite had a piece like that in their starting rotation?
He's welcomed the move to Friday night. I mean, almost like Sundays are kind of boring for him to go out there and be on the spotlight on that Friday or Thursday, the first game of the series, whatever it is. And you can see a little more emotion in him. I mean, there were times on Sundays where he was just ho-hum. I got out of the inning, struck out three. But Friday, he was showing some fist pumps and jumping around on the mound a little bit. So he's welcomed the opportunity and is taking it by the horns. And then looking back, I guess Lucas Gordon was pretty good. Pete Hansen was pretty good. And you just go with those couple of those. And they have one thing in common. We're all lefties.
Yeah.
We're all lefties.
I know you love that.
Yep. Yeah. He's reliable. He's reliable, and you know what you're going to get. Yeah, early in the season, he had a couple of hiccups, but getting used to the starting role again. But now he seems to be locked in, and in my opinion, also is the best pitcher in the conference. There's a lot of good ones out there, but the way he's throwing the baseball, and you see the movie The Predator,
yeah,
where you didn't really know where that thing was sometimes.
Yeah,
that's what I call some of his pitches, the Predator pitch, because the hitters just seem to like, I see it. Damn, where'd that thing go? It disappeared. So it's a nasty pitch. I didn't like how last weekend they had him on TV showing his grips on those pitches. I didn't like that at all. I almost texted him. I don't know who was calling the game. I'm like, quit doing that. Quit giving away secrets on national television.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You got one, Buck?
Yeah, Greg, the importance of the game tomorrow, BK and I had talked about it before. I guess there's, you know, revenge. I mean, you know, a lot of times you don't get all that. You know, teams talk about revenge, but they just want to play a good game and may the best man win. Tomorrow may seem like a revenge game, kind of. You know, you come out of a Sunday or you come back, but you want to keep that momentum going into that Tuesday game, and especially against UTSA, you know?
Yeah, they're really good. And they're going to walk in with their chest out. They knocked Texas out of the postseason last year at home and went to a super regional, first time, I believe, ever for UTSA. So they're confident playing in Austin, and they're really good. I know if you get down 6-0 to them, they're not Sam Houston. Against Sam Houston, but you might not come back against UTSA if you get down too far with them. And that's something Texas has had on Tuesdays. They've been having a fight from behind and lost a couple of Tuesday games. So it's very important. I think they need to recognize that, not look too far ahead. Even though we said last week Tuesday games don't mean much. This one I think will, because it is kind of like these guys left a bad taste in their mouth last year. We went home and they went to Westwood to play UCLA. So they need to come out. Seems like the first inning a lot of times is a trouble, whether it's a Tuesday or a Saturday or Sunday. So come out and be ready tomorrow night and play a really good game and get ready to go to Knoxville, because Tennessee got their first sweep. Yes, it was South Carolina. But hey, a sweep's a sweep. Where's that LSU beat South Carolina? Whatever it was, Tennessee's good at home, and you need to play good baseball when you're going back on the road in the SEC.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tomorrow's the biggest game of the year for Texas baseball. I'm just going to say it. UTSA.
Lost you guys.
Oh.
You guys kind of went away from me there for a second.
There you go. You got us.
We're back.
All right. Yeah, no, tomorrow's the biggest game of the year for Texas baseball. I'm going to say it. It means more to me than any SEC game.
There you go.
I got revenge on. I don't know if the players or coaches are thinking the same way, but I'm like, can Volantis pitch on, what, 3 or 4 days rest? Can we get him out there for tomorrow? I want to beat these fools, man. I've still got a bitter taste in my mouth.
He could give you a couple innings if he had to.
That's a must win for
Texas. I know another lefty that used to do that.
There you go. Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow, and hopefully we're talking about a 3-1 or a 4-0 week for Texas when we
I wrote it down. We got UTSA, Tennessee, and Missouri.
Yeah.
Right? Best case scenario, I believe they can go 7-0. I really believe they can go 7-0. Missouri's 4-20 in conference. You got them at home the last series of the season.
Yes.
And if you stay in that below that fourth position in conference, you don't have to play till Thursday the following week. So you get a double bye. Tennessee, you got them in Knoxville, as I said. They're really good. But I think 7-0, worst case scenario, 6-1. So you finish up the season with over 40 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love that. You'd love that.
I'm looking ahead. I'm looking ahead.
No, that's good. That's great. I mean, that's the way I hope they're thinking, too.
Zeke's looking ahead. BK's looking for revenge. It's all out there this week.
It is big 7-game stretch to close out the regular season. Zeke, always fun. Thanks so much for joining us again on a Monday, and look forward to chopping it up again next week.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. After 4-0 week.
After 4-0 week. You know what? Yeah, 3-1 was too negative. We're going 4-0 this week. I like
how
that.
How are we going?
Thanks, buddy. All right, there he goes. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell here on Bucky and BK talking some Texas baseball. And yeah, it brings up a good point. Look, Texas is – they are better than UTSA. I know what happened last year, and those midweek games can obviously go any way, but they're better than UTSA. Tennessee is a sub-500 team in conference play. They're kind of a borderline bubble team for the NCAA tournament this year. They've got a first-year head coach, and Missouri's the worst team in the conference right now. So, like, you hypothetically could go 7-0 to close out your year. If you're 6-1, even 5-2, you'll live with it. But you could have a much tougher slate to end the regular season than Texas does, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Now, you have to be prepared for every game. You have to be prepared tomorrow, and then you have still got to be prepared at the end of the week. You all these games are going to matter now. This one mentally will matter tomorrow.
Excuse me, Buck. Yeah, no disrespect to Tennessee or Missouri, but like, I'm more worried about tomorrow's game than I am those two teams, right? I mean, it's a Tuesday game, so you won't have one of your great starters going. And, I mean, Zeke just talked about it, right? The Longhorns have really struggled in those midweek games. Now, they've only lost two of them. There's a lot of other really good teams who have lost more than two midweek games this year. But you know, they were down 6 runs a couple of different times to Sam Houston. I mean, they've had to battle against some – not very good teams on Tuesdays.
I just think when you're coming off of a series like this, playing one of the better teams in the nation and winning the series, there's no reason to go backwards and lose on a Tuesday to this team, because you got a lot to look forward to. and the revenge factor, as you said. I mean, that's all got to be a part of it, but you got to be prepared and come out to play that way. Like you said, you can't just say you're going to do it. You have to come out and do it, because you're not going to have your Friday starter out there. You're going to be going a smorgasbord of guys on the mound. And so you as a hitter and you as a fielder, you got to be sharp tomorrow.
For sure. And the last two midweek games that Texas has played, last week against Sam Houston, again, they were down 8-2 and 9-3. Hell, they were down 14-12 going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and they needed a three spot to walk off the ghost of Sam Houston.
Yep.
And their previous midweek game was against A&M Corpus. They were down 5-0 in the first inning. Came back to win that one relatively comfortably. But you heard Zeke say, you do not want to give that team a five or six run lead, because they're, you know, that's UTSA is a two seed in a regional. A&M Corpus, Sam Houston, they're not tournament teams. UTSA is a good program.
Yeah, they're not afraid of you. They're not afraid whatsoever coming to play you at your home place either.
No, of course not. They've won three in a row. They obviously won in the postseason last year here in Austin. So, they're going to be confident coming into town tomorrow, and Texas needs to be ready to go. I'm curious if Michael Winter's going to get the ball or if Schloss tries something different, because Winter has not been great in his last couple of Tuesday appearances. So, we're kidding about Dylan Volantis pitching tomorrow, but I do wonder if Schloss will do something a little different, because I think this is a game that means more than your typical midweek game.
I would agree. Yeah, this is a head game right here for your team's mental state right here going into the weekend.
For sure. And again, it's one bracketology, and we'll see what happens. But there was a bracketology that I saw this morning that has UTSA playing Texas again in a regional. So you could lose tomorrow and still beat UTSA in the postseason if that happens. But you'd like to have some more confidence, and more so maybe shatter their confidence, and don't have them thinking they can just waltz into UFCU Dish Falk Field whenever they want and pick up a win.
Absolutely.
Revenge. You know what Texas needs to do to the Roadrunners?
What's that?
What you did to that Roadrunner on the golf
course. Oh, no, no, no. I was just putting it out of its misery.
That's what we need to do tomorrow night.
There you go.
Put UTSA, I don't know if they're that miserable right now, but
you're looking for 10 runs or more tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, you took that 9-iron to that poor Roadrunner on the golf course.
His legs were broke. A Roadrunner without legs is not a Roadrunner. He's ant bait.
Who broke the legs?
One of my buddies hit it with the golf ball.
Oh, I thought it was you who hit it with the golf ball. It was one of your friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys together.
Congratulations, murderer.
That's the two of you. Texas needs to take the Louisville Sluggers out tomorrow.
Yes.
Against the Meep Meeps of UTSA. Meep Meep. Oh. I hate that sound. All right, we will take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. We'll talk about the running back commitment that the Longhorns landed over the weekend. The Buck watched some film on Noah Roberts. We'll get his thoughts on what he's going to bring to the Texas running back room. We also have the BBK news and a couple of other fun stories to get to. But before we go any further, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Our good friends over at Sue Patrick have an incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, of course, collectibles, accessories, tons of Texas-themed items, gifts, books, the whole works, and a wide variety of men's and women's clothing. And they've got the hats, folks. They have got the hats. I saw my little grandson wearing his Texas jersey yesterday, the one that the players wear. He had one of those on at the game yesterday. And Sue Patrick's offer free shipping on online orders of $59 or more. Free curbside pickup and plenty of parking space available at 5222 Burnett Road. Mother's Day around the corner, Father's Day around the corner. Dad would love to have one of those golfing polos. I don't know if I can trust you guys to get a handbag for Mom, but you know, you can get her a gift card from Sue Patrick. They have gift cards. So maybe a gift card that maybe you kids don't try out the handbag for Mom. She's going to accept it, but let her do it herself at Sue Patrick for sure. Once again, the Jellycat headquarters. For more information, folks, go to SuePatrick.com.
Yeah, there's like a 99.9% chance that my Mother's Day gift to my mother will be a Sue Patrick gift card.
You're not going to pick out anything? You're not going to try that on your own?
Well,
How about some Tyler Perry detergent?
Oh, you know what? I might go down to see my mom this weekend. I'm trying to figure it all out. Should I just show up with like a full basket of dirty clothes and here, some detergent. Here's your gift. Now you get to test out your detergent. Here, here's my laundry.
Yeah, we get to test out it right here. Yeah, why not?
Don't you love being my mom?
And a card, because they have all kinds of Mother's Day cards there.
They do. Love Sue Patrick. Hell, when we're there, my mom usually is like, here, I want this. I want this. You buy it. So,
yeah, Jay's special segment shows everything. And so the phone calls start coming in.
Yeah.
And we may be there. We may, hopefully we'll get there this week before Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Get mom all hooked up.
Definitely. Shout out to Sue Patrick. Shout out to AV Consultations as well. What a win for the Texas Stars over the weekend. They were down against Chicago in the AHL playoffs. And they were down 4-3 with 10 seconds left. They scored a game-tying goal to force overtime, and then they won it in overtime to force a winner-take-all game five. So season was on the brink, and they find a miracle to win. I know our guy, Tom McKay, is a huge Texas Stars fan. He's also a huge part of the Texas Stars Foundation, and he's a great dude, very charitable guy. But also, speaking of charity, he's given you two 85-inch TVs to give away.
Yes, indeed. 2 weeks from Friday.
1 week from Friday.
Yeah, 1 week from this Friday, from last Friday, 2 weeks.
There you go. But AV Consultations, they can hook you up with the home TV setups of your dreams. If you're watching playoff hockey, playoff basketball, baseball, golf, football, whatever your sport of choice, maybe you like them all, AV Consultations can elevate your home TV setup. Screens, home theater rooms, they do surround sound speakers. They also do whole home lighting. They can do surveillance systems to keep you and your loved ones safe. They can put a golf simulator in your home. So, like, you can have a TV on one wall, a golf simulator on the other, and then, boom, you're hitting golf balls, you're watching golf. They do it all. They elevate your home with any technology that you want. 512-255-8678. That's the phone number to call. Or you can go online to avconsultations.com.
And our good friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company, since 2008, right here from Austin, Texas. I'm going to try the queso fries, BK, and the nuggies this week. But I'm going to wait till I play golf on Wednesday. I'm not totally loading up. But the nuggies were good. The last time I had the nuggies there, they were delicious. I was expecting, you know, it to be okay, but they were delicious. Those nuggies are good from the Hat Creek Burger Company. Good food, good folks there, and it's a great place for kids. They've got the playscape available for you, mom and dad. If you want to have a cocktail at the end of the day, you can have that. If you want to have a margarita at Hat Creek Burger, you can do so as the kids play on the playscape. Over 30 locations throughout the state of Texas. You will love everything that they have to offer at Hat Creek Burger Company. Going for the big hat on Wednesday, too. I'm doing
you're
it
not
all.
Eating, you're not doing all of that.
I'm going to do the big hat. I'm probably not going to do the shake. I still have the nuggies, and I won't have the fries. I can do the big hat and the nuggies. You know me, my eyes are bigger than my stomach every place we go. I'm always loading up with a tray of food, and then I'm pouring it into the can at the end. I am the big man, though. Don't forget that. The big man.
There's nothing that showed up when you just flexed right there.
What?
Just skin and bones.
Are you sure? That's gray. And that's light skin right there. That thing's big. I got to work out this morning, brother.
Yeah. Or are you 2 pound weights?
No. I'm in the 15 and 20 pounders.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, I do the 15. I do the 15 curls.
I like
with
that.
Each one of those. You know, and I do those pulls. I do those pulls with 25s.
All right. Well, 5 a.m. workout. Good for you.
Yeah, I got to be careful of that. I don't want to be laying in there at 8:45 and my wife's in there. Give me CPR. I got to be careful of that kind of stuff.
What, of working out?
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to, okay. You know, you heard Zeke about those hips. We just don't want the pain, brother.
You're right. Shout out to our friends at Hat Creek. Also, speaking of getting rid of the pain, early bird CBD can help you get rid of the pain. I busted out the drops Saturday night this weekend and just wanted to relax, wanted to feel good, wanted to get a good night's sleep, and all three boxes were checked with the early bird drops. Doing a little drinking, and I actually put these in an alcoholic beverage that I had.
How'd that work?
Little ranch water with the drops.
Great. It says ranch water. Are you sure it's not water?
I am sure it is not water. Yes.
You know, I can get confused on that.
Remember that story from Texas years ago. That's a classic, but love the early bird products. They've got the gummies. They've got the drops. We're going to do an early bird giveaway this week. I've got a little small sample pack to give away to one of our great listeners, but hey, If you want them for pain, if you want them to help you sleep, if you want them to take the edge off, whatever the reason, Early Bird is a local Austin recreational hemp company. Their products obviously have CBD. It's in the name, but also they are formulated with a micro dose of THC as well. So you are going to feel it. If you are getting drug tested at work, these are not for you. But if you're looking to take the edge off a little bit and relax, Early Bird CBD, the drops, the gummies, the tinctures, they've got a bunch of different ways to enjoy all of the benefits of their great products. Just go to their website, earlybirdcbd.com, and use the promo code Bucky to get 20% off your first order. They're also available at a number of local stores and shops around the Austin area as well.
Now, when you use, if you want to use Early Bird and you do get tested and they have a time when they tell you to get tested, how long will Early Bird stay in your system before you get tested?
I don't know. No. I mean, I would assume it's just as long as any other product containing THC that would show up on a drug test.
I got to ask some of my guys that are consistent gummy guys how long that would be if they get tested. Because still, you know, if you've got some pains like I have and you know you're not getting tested to a certain time of the month or something like that, I wonder how long. I need to find that out.
Well, it depends on a few things. It depends on how often you use it. This is generally speaking, not an early bird comment here. It depends on how often you use, and it also depends on your other habits, like, as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's gummies, there's weed, there's all kinds of stuff people do. But I'm just thinking, if you're just a gummy person, say early bird, and you knew your test was at the end of the month, and this is what they do every third month or something like that. Could you do it? And if you've got some pain, because dude, you don't want to be in pain. No, and I'm telling you, they are really helping me out with the pain.
Yep. That's what they're all about. Earlybirdcbd.com for more information. All right, let's talk a little Texas football. You know, typically when you get a Friday afternoon news dump, it's bad news.
Yes.
That was not the case for Longhorn football this past Friday, because Texas was able to land a commitment from a running back in the class of 2027 later in the day on Friday. Noah Roberts, 5'11", 200 pounds, four-star back from the state of Arizona. He committed to Texas basically over the weekend, a four-star, a top 20 running back in the country in this cycle. Buck, I sent you some highlight film of Noah Roberts' high school season, the 2025 high school season he just completed in the state of Arizona. Would love to get your thoughts and a mini breakdown on what you saw from his game.
Boy, he can catch the football. I mean, he's well-rounded. He's not just a running back. I mean, he probably, if he was going to be a high school receiver, he'd still be getting recruited probably as a receiver. He's got really nice soft hands, and he's got legitimate track speed, probably – said about 5'11", just under 200 pounds, but he's got legitimate track speed. He just pulls away from guys. You know, he doesn't – I didn't see – he's got really good moves, but most of the time he catches, and whoever misses him the first time, the second guy, if he's not near him, it's over with. He's got breakaway speed. He's not a track guy playing football. He's a football player that just happens to run track, you know. He can go. He uses his track speed to his advantage. When he gets loose, I mean, sometimes you see guys where guys are getting closer and closer to a guy, but he's just got that kind of a lead. Well, he just goes and he just pulls away from guys. There's no chance. There's no angles on this guy once he gets loose.
He is a track star in high school. Has run a 10.77 100 meter dash, was a part of a 4x1 team that made it deep into state in Arizona a couple of years ago. So he does have track speed. And yeah, you see that on some of the tape when you watch it. Like, this is a guy who runs by people and runs away from people and they don't catch up.
Yeah, not to say he doesn't like contact. He runs between the tackles pretty good, but he's a 200-pounder, 5'11". He's a pretty physical specimen.
There you go. For those of you who are watching the show, here's some tape from Noah Roberts' junior season that he just wrapped up. And you talked about his pass catching ability. I thought this was fascinating. You don't see numbers like this from running backs very often.
No.
About 50 catches, 562 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns this past year. So you think of like Jaden Blue and kind of the role he had at Texas, where obviously he was a good running back, but part of what made him so special and such a weapon in the Steve Sarkisian offense was what he brought to the table as a receiver as well. mean, not just catching screens. Like, you could actually flex him out and have him run routes, and he would easily win against a linebacker or a safety in coverage. Like, if that's what Noah Roberts can bring, you know, doing that in high school and doing that in the SEC, obviously different things. But if that's the type of skill set that he's going to bring to Austin, then that's going to be a huge weapon down the line.
Yeah, I mean, when you got that kind of speed right there, I mean, in high school, that's – I mean, guys generally make up the distance, but he's a guy that when he runs, you know, and you're chasing him, if he had to run another 200 yards for two more touchdowns, you wouldn't come near him. You know, when you see guys start to make up the difference, they don't make up the difference with him. It's over with.
Feels that way.
I could run to grandmother's house and six of you couldn't get him.
Oh, he's running to grandma's house?
Or if he's running to grandma's house and you got six of your friends, none of you are going to touch him if he gets in front of you to get to grandma's house.
This is a nice recruiting win for Texas going out of state. Remember, Bijan Robinson from the state of Arizona, obviously one of the biggest recruiting wins in recent Texas football history. And Noah Roberts actually mentioned Bijan when committing. He's like, well, you know, Texas clearly likes guys from the state of Arizona, and I'd love to be the next guy like that. Roberts has been to Texas. He visited twice during the spring, including a couple of weeks ago for the final spring practice, the fan day. He was in Austin for that. And, you know, he liked hearing about Derek Cooper and the amount of use that he's gotten as a true freshman early on in his college career. He also likes the relationship with Jabbar Jalouk. This is kind of the first big recruiting win for Jabbar Jalouk as the running backs coach at Texas. Obviously, he just got hired, so he hasn't had a lot of opportunities yet. This will be his first full recruiting cycle here in the ATX. But nice to go out of state and get a really, really talented player that Oregon was after, that Michigan was after. Obviously, the Arizona schools were offering and very much in the mix, too. So this was a nationwide recruitment that Texas was able to obviously hadn't put pen to paper yet. But at this point, obviously, the Longhorns in a very, very good spot.
And he runs these little swing screens and puts his numbers to the quarterback where the quarterback can throw it right to him, you know, and he can go.
Yeah, second highest rated offensive commit, the 10th overall commitment for Texas in the class of 2027, second highest rated offensive player behind Easton Royal, the five-star wide receiver from the state of Louisiana. The Longhorns class ranks 14th in the country right now. Obviously, a long way to go until the first national signing day in December. 761 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. He did average 6.6 yards a carry, also averaged 11.2 yards per catch this past year. Did run for over 1,000 yards and 19 touchdowns as a sophomore in 2024, had 32 catches that season as well. So again, versatile, likes catching the ball out of the backfield, but like you said, can run between the tackles, but his wiggle and his burst when he hits a crease, I think those were the things that really stood out to me. And that's kind of been the consensus from what I've read and folks that I've talked to about what Noah Roberts brings to the table.
Yeah. You're like you said, you don't see many kids in high school getting 50 passes, and they use them in all kinds of ways. It's they're not all quick screens, but I love swing screens. I love a guy who gives you a good angle on a screen like that, those little quick screens. And then he just is gone. Yeah. I mean, he's special.
Very special kid. So I like the pickup for Texas. I think the Longhorns could be in the mix to try to add one more running back in this class of 2027. You know, Relique Brown and Hollywood Smothers are both likely gone after the 2026 season. Now you've got Derek Cooper, who you signed last year. You've got Jet Walker from Georgetown, the local product, who you also signed last year. You know, James Simon has more eligibility. I mean, you've got some other running backs in the room. Obviously, Texas could go portal heavy again if they really wanted to. But replenishing through the high school ranks, never a bad idea.
You need two of those guys that are the guy. You need two of those.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's kind of a nice compliment. And I think a Derek Cooper is sort of the future of the Texas running back.
Sure.
And Cooper's a bigger body. I mean, he can catch passes out of the backfield, too. I mean, he could do a little bit of everything, but a little thunder and lightning kind of thing with Cooper and Noah Roberts when you're talking about 2028, perhaps. I know that's a while from now. I think that's, you know, you're building a diverse, versatile running back room that's got a good mix of speed and power and pass catching ability. And I like what Texas is doing there.
Yeah, I like the way this kid looks. I mean, like you said, when I saw him, when he gets out there flanked as a receiver, he doesn't catch balls in his belly like this. He'll reach out with his hands and catch the ball.
There's a lot of body catchers even at receiver in high school.
Yes, yes, there is. You're right.
They're body catchers in college. They're body catchers in the NFL still.
Yeah, so, you're right.
And this guy, receive passes the way that he does. Again, that's a nice element to his game. So, Noah Roberts, again, committed on Friday, part of the class of 2027 from the Chandler, Arizona area. Last time Texas went to the desert to get a running back, I would say things worked out pretty well.
Yes, it did.
I don't want to hype up Noah Roberts as if he's the next Bijan. Bijan was the number one running back recruit in America out of high school with a bona fide five-star. Not the case with Noah Roberts as of right now, but if he could be like half of what Bijan was, then
he's pretty good.
This would be a nice pickup right there. So there you go. There's the latest and greatest from Texas on the recruiting trail. We'll chop it up with Jordan Scruggs, try to reach out for him for today's show, but he's a bit under the weather. But we'll get Jordan's thoughts on this pickup and kind of get a more deep dive look at what else Texas is doing on the recruiting trail right now. Things are starting to pick up. You know, OVs will get going at the very end of this month and into June, but the Longhorns still working hard on the recruiting trail to try to hone down some.
We always expect special things in June from this coaching staff.
Yeah. They'll have a bunch of top-end talent coming here. I think Texas is going to get a commit or two here in the month of May within the next few weeks. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of visitors next month and some more commits coming as well. So if you're a recruiting junkie, make sure you keep it locked in. We'll keep the conversations going with Jordan and some other recruiting guests over the course of the off season. All right, Buck, how about, trying to think what to get to. Did you see Scottie Scheffler finish second again over the weekend?
And made a bunch of money again. Man, the PGA Tour, they got some cash flowing now.
Could have been you.
Gosh. They have got that thing flowing. Your live guys have made these guys some money here over the last 5 years or 4 years. Oh, they really have.
You're welcome for that. Yeah. Oh, actually, I don't want to claim LIV anymore since they never sponsored us. So.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't come through.
I think I'm out on LIV. But Scottie Scheffler, three straight second place finishes and solo seconds, too.
Yes.
For Scottie. It was Cam Young who went wire to wire to win the Cadillac Championship, shot 19 under for the tournament, six shots better than Scottie Scheffler. But yeah, the world number one has become a repeat number two as of late. First player since Sergio Garcia in 2014 to finish runner-up in three straight starts. But there were a couple of tied runner-ups for Sergio. I wonder the last golfer who's ever been solo second.
Solo, yeah.
In three straight starts. Scotty's not hurt, and he won $2.2 million yesterday.
$2.2 million for second place.
Yeah, the winner, wow. Cam Young, got 3.6. So, obviously, Scotty would have preferred that. But Cadillac still got some money. And it's interesting. We've spent a lot of time talking about, like, Scottie Scheffler, it's not really happening for him this year. Like, what's the deal? You look at 2026 compared to 2025, where he was at this moment. 2025, he had one win, one runner-up, four top fives, six top tens. Here on May 4th, 2026, one win, three runners-up, six top fives, six top tens. So he's actually on a better pace.
Yeah, for sure.
He won the PGA last year, and the PGA is the next major. It's coming up next week. So maybe this is the time where Scotty, not to say he hasn't really had it in gear, but he goes from, like, I don't know, fifth gear to sixth gear as the PGA. I think he's off this weekend, and then he'll get ready for next Thursday. But it's crazy. Like, he keeps finishing
second. Where's the PGA played this year?
It's one of those damn tournaments or one of those damn courses that I can't pronounce.
Someplace in Chicago.
Aronimink. You know what I'm talking about?
No, where's it located?
I just gave you the name of the course.
What state?
Pennsylvania. You should know this one. Newtown Square.
I was going to say near Pittsburgh.
I don't know. Is that where that is?
I think so.
Newtown Square. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it, but there you go. We'll see if Scotty can go back-to-back with the PGA championship. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Dakota text line. I love
the $2.2 million for coming in second.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, of course he wants to win. You make more money and, you know.
Yeah, and that's what he's about. He's about winning.
It's a pretty nice consolation prize.
Yeah, that's nice to go home with that, huh? Yeah, damn, I didn't win, but I got $2.2 million.
I say it all the time. Like, if you're a PGA Tour golfer and you get like one top five finish, doesn't have to be a major, just one top five finish, then you're making more than the average American makes in a year. And that's for 4 days of playing golf.
Yes.
Obviously, a lot easier said than done. If if it was as easy as it sounds, all of us would be doing it too.
Absolutely, man.
But it's a nice life when you are a very good golfer, and that's what Scottie Scheffler obviously is.
Takes a lot of work.
Takes a lot of work, yeah. And with two kids now, he's still finding time to put in the time, and he's still the world number one. He'll be favored at the PGA.
Yeah, Chris B. just asked me. Yeah, I was a John Sterling guy. God rest his soul. Rest in peace, John Sterling.
Yeah, that came out, overnight?
Yeah, I think so.
Longtime radio voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling, passing away.
I didn't realize he was that old. Was it 89 or 79?
87.
87? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 36 seasons calling Yankees games. He retired in April of 2024. Seems like the health was starting to decline a little bit, and he hung him up. And passing away at the age of 87, called more than 5,400 regular season Yankees games and more than 200 postseason games.
Yeah, I like John Sterling's voice. I thought he was pretty good as an announcer.
Yankees win the Yankees.
Yeah, he always had a lot of fun.
Yeah, he did. He was a big bits guy, which I do appreciate there. All rise.
He was a bits guy.
He always had these like separate home run calls for all the players, which is good. It's creative. A lot of guys are vanilla. They say the same thing over and over again. I'll give John Sterling some credit. Probably called games longer than he needed to, but an icon in the world of baseball. So RIP to John Sterling. Okay, we'll get to the BBK news here and why today's not so bad in a moment. We've got an update on the JP Morgan story that we talked about on Friday.
Yes.
And,
don't ever let him see you cry.
The whole thing might be fake.
What?
There's your tease. Before we get to that, though, how about our final round of sponsor shout-outs?
Shout out to our friends over at Woods Comfort Systems. For 70 years in Central Texas, folks, Woods Comfort Systems has been doing heating and air conditioning. And, yeah, very, very soon, your air conditioning this weekend was probably cranking on. Just when you thought it was just going to rain and be okay, it was humid and hot. And so make sure that's working properly, because summer months are going to be – I think this is going to be a hot one this year, BK. I really do. I think we're going to – get back to some of these normal crazy summers that we've been having or that we've had before. And I think this humidity that's going to be is going to be sticking around too. But folks, make sure that your system is working properly. They do a great job when it comes to air conditioning, heating. They also do plumbing now. Any problems with the indoor or outdoor plumbing, trust Woods Comfort Systems to get it done correctly. Woods Comfort Systems, nobody does it better.
No, they don't. And speaking of the weather, if your home took some hits from the crazy weather that we had over the weekend. I know there were reports of hail around Central Texas over these last few days. Reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. Of course, if something's wrong with your roof, call them. They'll get out to your place quickly. If you're not sure, or you just want to make sure that, hey, for the next storm, everything's okay. Like maybe nothing broke now, but I know I got some hail. So I just want to reach out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. They're not fly by night. They're not storm chasers. They've been around and they are going to stay around. More than 700 five-star reviews online, and they will inspect your roof for free. Free storm assessment, free roof inspection, and they're also going to buy you a Texas Longhorns t-shirt just for having them out to your place. If you need a full roof replacement, they're also going to hook you up with a Blackstone grill or a Traeger smoker. These guys are fantastic people. They do high-quality work. They specialize in both residential and commercial roofs, so they can take care of anything. The best technology, the best quality, A-plus rated by the BBB, all the five-star reviews, and again, the free Longhorn t-shirt just for having them out to your place for a roof inspection. All you have to do is reach out to them. You can call them 512-257-0033, or you could go to their website, QualisGC.com. That's QualisGC.com.
you know, Mike McCall did such a good job, BK. I had people down to my putting green hitting balls into the net. Saturday night, some kids pulled down their truck and put the lights on the putting green, and they were down there putting and hitting balls, having a good time, very quiet, very respectful to people in the neighborhood, not a lot going on. I had told my neighbor, I said, you know, come over sometime and putt. And I guess he took me up on that.
Don't you have a gate?
Huh?
Don't you have a gate?
No, remember, this is outside of my – it's on my property, but it's outside the gate. It's outside where the dog is. The dog just sat there and just watched him.
Nice. Oh, man. He was probably so ticked.
Oh, I mean, it was nice. They pointed – you know, the car was pointed the other way. And, boy, that thing got some use on Saturday, and that's good. Of course, I went down there Sunday to see if there's any beer bottles or cigarette butts put out. They did a fantastic job. Everything was clean, and it's pleasant. It's good to see kids have a place to go do something if they want to, you know?
The kids are all right.
Kids are all right.
Nice. I used to have that back. I didn't realize. I thought you were going to have the putting green installed to work on your game. I didn't think that was going to be to lure the neighborhood kids over to.
No, not to. No, no, I get down there. I go stretch down there and do some stuff too. You know, when I lived in Circle C, I had the netting up. I had that adjustable basketball net. I had lights in the back of the house with the netting all around, and you could bring the backboard down to like 7 feet. Well, I didn't really need it because at 10, I was good enough to go up there and jam it. You know what I mean?
Ah, sure. Well, that's interesting. Sure, there. You're making the kids watch you stretch while they're putting, huh?
No, it's good, man. It's good. It's good when you know where your kids are in a neighborhood. And if kids want to do something constructive and they're not out just getting partied out on a Saturday night, that was fine.
There you go. All right.
That was fine. It was good to have kids around there.
Shout out McCall Custom Homes. And a real quick shout out to Waterloo Printing and Graphics. They make our merch. They make your merch too. If you've got a business that needs stuff, hats, shirts, signs, stickers, koozies, posters, whatever, reach out to Adam and his great team at Waterloo Printing and Graphics. They're based right here in South Austin, so they'll get you what you need, and they'll get it to you quickly. 512-300-9641. That's Adam's direct line. You can call him. You can text him. Big Texas fan. Big fan of the show. You can also find them on Instagram as well at Waterloo Printing.
Sweet.
Okay, the BBK news to wrap up a Monday show. Remember, on Friday, we talked about the wild JP Morgan story involving an executive who was accused of
assaulting,
sexual misconduct, using her power over an inferior in the office. It was a huge lawsuit that was filed in the state of New York, and it went viral, and everybody's been talking about it, and the internet's been having a field day, I guess a field week with it. So many memes, so many jokes. And I mean, it just took the world by storm last week. Well, the New York Post released an article saying that the original article, which came out in the Daily Mail, is now being widely questioned.
And
there's new information out there suggesting that the claims may have been fabricated or at least significantly misrepresented. According to the report, the individual who circulated the allegations anonymously as John Doe has now been identified, and he's facing scrutiny over the accuracy of his claims. The article says that this person played a central role in amplifying the story online, including sharing details that were later picked up and spread widely across social media platforms. Apparently, there have been folks who have reported that the allegations are a complete fabrication, and they're calling into question whether the events actually occurred as presented.
So, suck on my toes may have never happened, huh?
May have never happened. The whole fish head cannons line may have happened. The crying, that probably happened.
Probably did.
Yeah, there's just a lack of verifiable documentation here. There's reportedly no confirmed lawsuit matching the viral allegations. There's no official filings or court records that have been identified that support the claims.
We got no pictures.
There's no like major credible news organization that has gone out to verify the core details. Like, there's just kind of a severe absence of evidence right now that has led me to question
whether Mr. Vrabel, you got to have those pictures.
You got to have those pictures. Yeah, no, there's nothing fake about the Mike Vrabel, Diana Russini stuff. I mean, that there's pictures. There's a lot of evidence against those two. The fact that, you know, she resigned from her job and he's held multiple press conferences. I mean, he left the NFL draft early a couple of weeks ago to go to treatment.
We're trying to find out about little Mike and everything.
Whether or not that's his kid. Yeah, they're trying to figure out if, you know, Mike Vrabel is the father of that child that Diana Russini had.
The name of Mike
is also named Mike. But yeah, now the accuser in this, Lorna Hajdini, remember that's the name of the JP Morgan exec. He was accused of all of this wrongdoing. I mean, her attorneys came out and said everything is categorically untrue. And JP Morgan apparently did their own internal investigation, and they say that none of this actually happened. So now the story has kind of turned to, wow, this woman sucks. She's a horrible person. She's got to get fired too. Maybe this whole thing was totally made up and the guy is the liar and something's got to happen to him.
Always two sides to a story.
There's two sides to a story. So there's still more that's going to come out with this one. But yeah.
Hand it over to TMZ. We'll get to the bottom of it.
TMZ?
Yeah, they'll get to it.
I'm surprised they haven't reported on. I mean, I'm sure they've got something about this, but you would think that
they pay good money for information. They know how to get it. You know how to get it? They pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth, and he said, she said right now between JP Morgan and the woman's attorney and John Doe, who no longer works at JP Morgan. So I don't know. Maybe we put the cart before the horse on this one.
That's all right. We'll find out. Well, you know, you got your people.
We'll find out. Yeah, I'll get to the bottom of this. There's no doubt. Why today is not so bad. Buck, it's a big day for you. I'm surprised you didn't bring this one up on your own. Today is National Weather Observers Day.
Weather's Day, huh?
Yeah, you're a weather observer, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what are you doing to celebrate?
I'm not doing anything. I'm making sure that you people understand the magnitude of when I tell you about weather, what's going to happen. Trust in me.
Okay.
That's all I want you people to do. Trust in me.
You are the foremost weather observer out there.
I'm a weatherer. I'm more than an observer. Anybody can observe weather.
Okay.
But I let you know when it's coming. I let you know when it's coming at you.
It's true.
I just can't stop it. My problem is I can't stop it once it starts.
You can't stop what?
Weather.
Are we getting any inclement weather this week?
We've got probably Thursday. I would say around Thursday we'll get some. Thursday and possibly Friday. I'm playing golf Wednesday, so it ain't happening Wednesday.
It doesn't rain when you golf.
Generally, it does not.
It's not allowed to.
No.
Okay.
That's some of my weather. Oh, that's part of my weather or power.
You control the weather.
Let's be careful with that now.
That sure sounds like that's what you just said.
When I play golf, it generally we don't have a weather, anything that happens weather-wise, except for an okay day to play golf.
So whatever day you decide to play golf, it's not going to rain, which to me means you control it.
You take it the way you want to take it. I just take it as just another nice day in paradise here.
It's also National Bird Day, National Orange Juice Day, National Self-Employed Day, and Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
I'm not a big – I mean, I saw 1, 2, and I'm done after about that. I don't know anything about, you know, the little guy. What's his dude's name? I don't know about Mandolin or whoever it is. The other ones that are coming out now know nothing about all that stuff.
The little guy.
With the ears?
I feel like most of the characters probably have ears. He's like Yoda?
Oh, yeah, that dude. I don't know much about what Yoda stands for.
You do know that he has ears, so I guess that's a start.
He's got those funny little ears, like the star, like Mr. Spock on Star Trek. That's about all I know.
You've watched more than I have.
Seriously.
I've seen zero Star Wars. I know there's Luke, and
watched
I know
the original, right?
I have not seen the original. No, I know there's Luke, and I know Luke has a dad, because some guy says he is his father.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader's his dad? I thought Darth Vader was a bad guy.
Remember, Luke, I am your father.
That was Darth Vader who said that?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for the spoiler, dude.
Now, if you ever
come on, like, you got to give me a chance to watch this stuff that just came out.
No, you're not going to watch.
One of these days, I need to, but I have not yet.
Please do someday.
On this day in 1959, the first Grammy Awards were held. Frank Sinatra won Album of the Year for "Come Fly with Me," and also Grand Funk Railroad goes Locomotion. Band hit number one on the U.S. charts with their cover of "The Locomotion."
Yeah, I think someone did that Locomotion before Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah,
the original
cover. Yeah, and on this day, Cy Young threw a perfect game, first perfect game in the modern era of baseball. You know, Cy Young overrated because in his career he never won a Cy Young.
That's interesting.
People say he's one of the best pitchers of all time. He never won the award that goes to the best pitcher every year. So, bum. A few quick birthdays. Rory McIlroy, 37 today.
Okay.
Randy Travis, 67 today.
Country singer Randy Travis, yeah.
Jackie Jackson, the eldest member of the Jackson 5, 75 today.
I am going to go see that movie.
Michael Jackson movie?
Yeah.
Katherine Jackson, the matriarch of the Jackson family, 96.
Wow.
Today. Still alive. And born on this day, now dead, Don Shula. Winningest coach in NFL history. Mo Howard, the leader of the Three Stooges. And Audrey Hepburn.
I'll say this about Don Shula. I got to coach his son at Dartmouth. My only year at Dartmouth as a graduate assistant, I was coaching the wide receivers, so I got to coach David Shula.
There you go. He not as famous as Don, it appears.
No.
That's tough. All right, so there you go. That's why today is not so bad.
It's not bad, brother.
On May 4th. And thank you all for tuning in to today's show. The Buck and I will be back tomorrow. Y'all have a good May 4th. Cinco de Mayo tomorrow. I might have a margarita on the show. Why not?
There you go.
Well, 9 a.m. margarita. Never heard anybody.
Wrong with that. Cinco de Drinko.
Yeah. I don't know if it's ever helped anybody, but
no.
It'll help me have a good time, I guess. That'll be good. We're out of time. Thank y'all for tuning in. The Buck and I will be back tomorrow. Y'all have a great day.
Hook 'em, y'all.
Hook 'em.